Amen. Lord, we just thank you for an awesome night tonight. We praise you, Father, that we're not going to lose any kind of communication. We're not going to lose our internet, nor are we going to lose any electricity in the name of Jesus. I command that wind to die down now in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, that it is so. And we thank you, Lord, for an awesome night tonight with you. And we thank you, Lord, for the awesome testimony that we're going to hear tonight. We praise you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven. And we generate a lot of prayers, Lord. And you generate a lot of testimonies. We praise you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, the name that's above all names, the one that's sitting on the throne up there, interceding for our behalf. And I praise you, Father, for leading us and guiding us tonight through the things that you'd have us to look at and talk about. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm getting excited. I don't know about y'all. Glory to God. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? It might look like a dingo, but we ain't got many of those in Tennessee or Arkansas. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? That's a pretty little dog, Joe. Yeah, he's a cute little dog. You got him off of diapers yet? Almost. Pretty near, but not plumb. Okay. All right. Lord, we just thank you for an awesome night. Praise you, Lord. No prayer requests tonight, other than the one that I just, I told that wind, I said, peace be still out there right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lana, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Hello. I just wanted to ask for prayer for somebody I met tonight. Actually, the Lord brought us together at a friend's house. Her name is Victoria. She is looking for the Lord. She needs the Lord. I invited her to join our sister's prayer meeting tomorrow. And I just want to lift her up that the Lord does a work in her. She is very excited and does want to come. But I just feel a need to lift her up. She's very oppressed. She has depression. She was leaning toward alcoholism again, and she knows it's wrong. She knows she needs to be delivered, but she's just under so much stress and anxiety. I just want the Lord to cover her with his hand, to lift her up, to deliver her and prepare her for a huge anointed blessing tomorrow in our sister's prayer meeting so that she will feel his presence and she will be drawn to him and that he is bringing her into his kingdom.
Amen. Lord, everything that Lana said, we believe. Did you say her name was Victoria? Okay. And we lift up Victoria right now to you, Lord. We thank you for granting repentance and bringing her into the kingdom in a mighty way. We bind up and cast off of her that spirit of addiction. You will not have a control over her. In Jesus' name, you leave her now. We loose you from her right now, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that she is completely delivered of that, and she is going to have an awesome time. Father, I ask and I pray that you bring her in tomorrow. And not only that, fill her up with your Holy Spirit, Father, with the tongues following. And we thank you, Lord, for that heavenly language that you're giving her, for the overcoming power against the enemy. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Y'all believe that? Lord of God, yes, I do too. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Victoria, you come on in a mighty way, girl. You're going to be just in time. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Well, tonight, I sent each and every one of you, but Greg, your email came back. It's not deliverable. I know. I don't know. You need to repent or something. I don't know what it is. But it came back. It wouldn't take it for whatever reason. Proton Mail wouldn't let it go out. Yeah, one of them. name an email notice. tonight, but I sent you a deal that Miss Claire made up for us off of this testimony I'm going to give you tonight. It's an awesome, awesome testimony. We blogged it here locally. I thought David was going to share it on the Bible study, but he said he wasn't going to share it. He was going to share the thing that I shared the other night. So anyway, that's okay. Praise God. But this testimony is called Speak the Word Only by Don Gossett. Now, if you don't know who Don Gossett was, he was an evangelist and a preacher that lived in the 50s and 60s and 70s. I don't remember when he died, but he was had a healing ministry also. He was a Baptist, actually. You know, but he was a Baptist full of the Holy Spirit, which wasn't a Baptist, as y'all know. So he went all over the world as an evangelist, healing evangelist, and saw hundreds of thousands of people heal and deliver and come into the kingdom as well, mostly over in India and Eurasia. Yep, that's right. So it's called Speak the Word Only. And I want every one of you to listen to the teaching here that is in this thing. Some of you come out of deliverance ministries that don't disciple very well. So I believe this will help you a lot. And I'm going to have a few words to say afterwards. Don says, I want to share one of the most wonderful testimonies of healing I have ever heard. It happened in a hospital in London, England, in March of 1994. I can relate this story perhaps better than anyone else can because I was deeply involved in it. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay, good. My daughter Judy and I were traveling in East Africa doing crusades. In Nairobi, Kenya, we had several services every day. And Judy led a 100-voice choir every night. Well, that's a choir, isn't it? Following the crusades in Nairobi, we flew to Mombasa by the Indian Ocean for further ministry. The heat and humidity in Mombasa make it one of the most intolerable cities in the world for living accommodation. It was terribly hot, but Judy and I worked very hard while we were there. Then came the day we were to fly to London for an overnight stay before returning to North America. After we were airborne, Judy told me that she was going to another part of the jet where she had seen several empty seats and could stretch out a bit more. About halfway through the 10-hour flight, I went back to talk with her and make sure she was okay. She said, Dad, I vomited several times, she informed me. I placed my hand on her forehead and I prayed a brief fatherly prayer for her, then returned to my seat. It seemed like something minor. I wasn't overly concerned. The crisis. About a half hour before we landed in London, a flight attendant found me and related this grave news. Mr. Gossett, I'm sorry to inform you that your daughter Judy is a very sick lady. Not only has she vomited many times, she is also hemorrhaging from every opening in her body. It is the blood that has us alarmed. We don't know if it's food poisoning or just what the problem is. We have notified Heathrow or airport to meet the flight with a wheelchair for your daughter. The wheelchair was waiting when we landed, and they took Judy to a medical examining room. After more than an hour, a doctor came out with more critical news. Mr. Gossett, we have taken blood from your daughter. She has something more severe than parasites, but beyond that, we are uncertain. We have ordered an ambulance to come immediately and take her across London to a hospital that specializes in tropical and infectious diseases. Don said, please, Doc, that won't be necessary. Judy worked very hard while we were in Africa, and I'm sure she will be all right with a good night's rest. And I booked rooms for us tonight here in London, I explained. The doctor was quite blunt as she responded to my protest. Mr. Gossett, leaving the hospital is not an option. Your daughter has been quarantined. She's now the responsibility of British Airways and the City of London. There's no way we could consider permitting her to leave with the highly contagious disease she may have. At about that time, two men rolled out a stretcher with Judy strapped to it. They told me that I could accompany her to the hospital, so I rode sitting next to Judy in the ambulance. She looked so weak, especially compared to the strength she usually exudes. She looked up at me and said, Dad, I've never been in a hospital a day or night in my life. I wasn't even born in a hospital. I know all that, Judy, but you're going to be all right. God will see you through. I tried to encourage her. When we arrived at the hospital, a whole battery of doctors and nurses met us. They were all wearing emergency-looking hospital garments, and they quickly took Judy away to an isolation room. After a long time, Dr. Clark, the chief physician, came out to speak to me. Mr. Gossett, your daughter is an extremely ill woman. We will do our best to save her life, but we won't know anything until morning. Meanwhile, you will have to leave the hospital, and you won't be permitted to return until we notify you that you can. You may enter the isolation room where your daughter is, but only for 20 minutes. Then you must leave the hospital. When I was alone with Judy, I told her, Judy, the doctor has given me only 20 minutes with you before I must leave. We won't have time for deep intercessions for you, but Judy, I'm going to speak the healing word for you. And I have these truths in my spirit, in my alphabet of healing. Remember, Jesus cast out evil spirits with his word. And that's what I'm going to do now. The word I speak over you will expel the spirits of infirmity and disease. Just receive this word as I speak it now. Any one of these 26 verses can be your healing portion. I began with the letter A. Proverbs 4:20-22. Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Glory to God. I said, Judy, his word is health to all of your flesh. This is for you right now. Receive his healing provision for your life. And then I went on to the letter B. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Third John 2. Oh, beloved Judy, God, our Father really wants you to be in health, not in this devastating sickness. It's yours to receive now. And when I spoke the letter C, I repeated this prayer of David. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51:10. I said, Judy, I believe you have a clean heart and a right spirit. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to do his work of heart searching and renewal as we yield to him now. After Judy and I quietly allowed the Holy Spirit to do his blessed work of cleansing and renewal, we went to the letter D. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Psalm 119, 17. And knowing Judy's very life was at stake, I urgently spoke this letter D over her that she may live, Lord, and keep your word. The letter E, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5 and 16. The letter F reminded us of God's mercies through the past years. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquity, who heals all thy diseases. Psalms 103, 2 and 3. And I boldly spoke the letter G. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts 10:38. And when I spoke the letter H, I sought to impress upon Judy this eternal fact. He, that's Jesus, took up our infirmities and carried our disease. Matthew 8:17, NIV. And I affirm that God's original healing covenant was expressed in the letter I. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15 and 26. Honoring our Lord's majesty came with the letter J. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13 and 8. Next, I spoke the letter K. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price, and therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. And when I spoke the letter L, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Mark 16 and 18. I assured Judy that I would lay hands on her and that Jesus himself promised she would recover. M is precious. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Proverbs 17 and 22. N magnifies the strong name above all other names. Jesus' name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts 3 and 16. The very next day, Judy was to tell me that the letter O proved to be the quickening word, the very rhema of God that ministered healing to her. She declared that after I spoke this letter O, she never vomited again, nor did she ever pass any more blood. What was the dynamic letter O? Listen to this. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond? Luke 13 and 16. Praise God forevermore. I spoke the letter P, power of the Lord was present to heal them. Luke 5 and 17. Q is also precious, honoring the mighty indwelling Holy Spirit. Quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Romans 8 and 11. The letter R signifies defeat for the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4 and 7. If we don't resist the devil, he doesn't have to flee. But if we resist him, he must flee. The letter S holds another expression of authority. God sent his word and healed them. Psalm 107 and 20. And here was T. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Psalm 105 and 2. We talked of his works that night by Judy's bedside. Always, folks, declare God's praise on your lip. Let it always be talking of his wondrous works. The letter U was next on this alphabet of healing. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Malachi 4 and 10. The letter V reveals Jesus' active ministry. Virtue went out of him and healed them all. Luke 6 and 19. The letter W is perhaps the scripture we have spoken most often for healing. With his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 and 5. And as most of you know, 1 Peter 2:24, were healed. By his stripes we were healed already. He said, I spoke the letter X. Expectation is from him, Psalm 62 and 5. And I assured Judy that the letter Y had been good for me for all these years, and it was hers to receive. Youth is renewed like the eagles, Psalm 103 and 5. And I arrived at the final verse of this inspired alphabet, the letter Z. Zealous of spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 14 and 12. When I concluded speaking those 46 Bible verses over my daughter, I obeyed the Lord's word to lay my hands on her for her healing. Then I had to leave the hospital. My heart was filled with confidence that the mighty God was watching over his word to perform it. See Jeremiah 1 and 12. No word from his mouth would return to him void of fulfillment. Isaiah 55 and 11. Because God is not a man that he would lie to us. Numbers 23 and 19. God ain't going to lie to you. When he said he'll heal you, he'll heal you. The doctor said I could call the next morning. I called at 8 o'clock. Sorry, Mr. Gossett, we have no information about your daughter to give you now. Call back in another hour, they told me. I called again at 9 o'clock. Again, the response was the same. We have no information to give you yet. Call back in another hour. At 10 a.m., I called again. The nurse responded, right now, 12 doctors are surrounding your daughter's bed, but I have no information to give you. Don't call us again. We'll call you. I waited patiently in my hotel room, pacing and praising God for the anticipated good report. And when the phone did ring, it was Dr. Clark. He said, Mr. Gossett, this is remarkable. It's like we have had two different women in that bed. Last night, when we took blood, results showed that the infection was severe. We gave her no medicine because we didn't know how to medicate her. This morning, when we took blood again, now her blood is completely clean and pure. We have just now discharged your daughter from this hospital. We will be putting her in a taxi for the trip to Heathrow Airport. She will be joining you for your flight back to America this afternoon. And I was practically shouting praises to the Lord. I quickly packed my bag and checked out of the hotel, and I boarded a bus to take me to Heathrow Airport. But in my excitement, I got on the wrong bus and had to get back off again. When I finally arrived at Heathrow, Judy was waiting for me. If you need healing, I recommend that you affirm all 26 of the Bible verses listed in this chapter. They contain God's healing provisions for your spirit, soul, and body. Believe and receive your healing. When you speak the word of God over anybody and believe what you speak and is coming to pass, guess what? Miracles like that will happen. We don't have to put up with the devil. He said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, he gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. And when you take that power and speak the name of Jesus, the devil has to go. He has no other recourse but to do that. None other. And that's the authority that God has given us. He has placed it in us. When you have Jesus in your heart, you got Jesus that's up on the throne in your heart. And all hell can't come against you. It can try if you let it. But if you don't, it can't happen. But God, I'm telling you right now, we walk in dominion on this earth. Not in a proud, arrogant way, but we do in a spiritual authoritative way. The devil has no power over you at all. There's some people that think there's a devil out there around every tree. I don't care. Makes me no never mind. He can be out there around a tree if he wants to. He ain't got nothing on me because I have the great God I am backing me up. And Greg's got the spiritual whoop there. Thank you, Lord. Got the spiritual club. So don't allow the enemy to come against you or your family. Remember the prophetic word we said the other night. The Lord said, you come together in unison and I will hear you and I will do exactly what you pray. You declare and decree it and it's done. That's what he said. You declare and decree it and it's done. And I am so excited at what God's doing in his people because they're starting to get who they really are in Christ. And they're starting, I'm going to say something, and I'm talking to myself too. As a Christian, we should get to a point at some point in time in our maturity in Christ that's sickness and the enemy has no power over us at all. Jesus never got sick. Jesus never had lack. Jesus, you know, and that's where God wants us. And we're going to see it. This group right here is going to see it. You're going to see God work in you and your brother and your sister on this place. Like you've never seen God work before because of the desire to run after the Lord with all your heart. When you run after the Lord with all your heart, you've got him right there beside you. And he's going to do whatever it takes. You know, God is so awesome. And he's waiting on us. That's what he's waiting on. He's waiting on us to believe what his word says and trust him implicitly. Well, bless God, I command that devil to get away from me, and that devil's got to go. It can't sit there. He said, uh-oh, this guy's starting to get what the word said. We got to do something here. Try to get some doubt and unbelief in there. Nope, that ain't going to work, devil. It ain't going to work because God is here. He's in me. I abide in him and he abides in me. You hear me, devil? And that's what you have. That's the kind of attitude that we have to take. That's what I'm about. You got to be bold in your faith and quit letting the devil run over your mind and your heart and your body. That's what we got to do. We got to quit letting the devil do that. Yes, that's right, Judy. We are who God says that we are. We abide in him and he abides in us, devil. There ain't no room for you. Get. You got to get. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody out there ought to be getting excited. I'm telling you. God fixing to do something in this place. In this world, he's fixing to do something. Amen, Carol. More zeal for the Lord. Turn that fire up, Lord. Turn the fire up, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else got a comment?
Thank you, Michael, for turning on the fire and throwing that gasoline so we can just keep blowing up for Jesus.
Amen, girl. Get fired up. That's what we're supposed to do. Be fired up for Jesus. That's right. I'll tell you what he says. He says in that prophetic word the other day, you asked me what I would have you to do, my Jews. He called us my Jews. Glory to God. Woo. Declare in unity all of my truths in this realm many times throughout your day. That thing I sent you, declare that thing all throughout the day. Declare a thing and it shall be so. Lord of God. Listen to what he says. There is unmatched power and authority when my truth is being spoken collectively. Woo! Glory to God. One can send 1,000, two can send 10,000. We got 19 on here just in the pictures. I ain't talking about two in each, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So we got at least 25 people on here. I don't know how many that is, but it's untold thousands, millions, semi-billions. Glory to God. He said, there is unmatched power and authority when my truth is being spoken collectively. Declare what is already done in the spiritual to manifest in the physical now. Glory to God. We don't have to sit around and wait until I get a hold of somebody with some faith to help me. You don't have to. Just speak it. Just speak it, glory to God. Call forth the fulfillment of my promises and watch what I will do, glory to God. Well, I'm looking, Lord. I'm looking, glory to God. I know that devil's on the run, glory to God. There ain't nothing he can do to me now. Declare miracles and supernatural blessings, provision, and protection. And it will be as you have declared it, because my storehouses of heaven are open. Woo! Glory to God. He done swung wide open. All we got to do is get in there and grab hold of what we need. Glory to God. And just believe. This is Jesus talking, y'all. As I am in my Father, you are in me. So you are in the Father, and we operate as one. So when you speak, just remember, it's Jesus speaking through you. It's God the Father speaking through you. He says, my royal priesthood and sons and daughters, much has been given, and now I require from you for you to take a powerful spiritual stand like you have not done before. You are to be bold and courageous and without fear. Many of you who have been hidden in secret will now come forth. Don't be afraid, for I am with you, and nothing by any means can harm you. You were born for such a time as this. So rejoice, my children. The hour is much later than most understand. But you, as my set apart ones, know this, and you will shine with the light of your Creator in the midst of the darkest of days on this earth. You're going to be walking around like a neon sign, folks. Glory to God. With God just shining all over. What is that all over you? God, Lord, man, you want to know him? I tell you what, he'll give you peace in your heart like you ain't never had before. All this hell that's breaking out around you, it's going to be peace in your heart. You're going to go around. You're going to be just like John Lake when he went into all of that disease and stuff. And they're going to say, how can you do that and not catch nothing? What did he tell him? It is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that saved me from the law of the spirit of sin and death. Woo! Glory to God. Somebody ought to be shouting out there. I'm getting like one of these old time Pentecostal preachers, you know. I start going, huh! You know. Praise God forevermore. All right, I'm just getting excited. I don't know about y'all, because I know what's coming. I've already seen bits and pieces of it, and I know it's coming. Yeah, there you go, Karen. Give them an amen, y'all. Amen. Glory to God. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to add or comment on? Don't be bringing me down. Ain't gonna work. I was listening to that song by Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, Psalms 34, I think it is. 43, okay. If that's what it was, that's what it was. Boy, I was getting all, man, I was getting all spirited up there, and David was downstairs. I'm sure he had to move into his bedroom, because when I get all excited, I get a little bit loud. I don't know if y'all noticed that or not. Anyway, glory to God. Does anybody got anything they'd like to share? I'm going to go on a little bit here, a little bit. I got some more I want to share with you, but I'd like to hear from y'all.
I'd like to say that I love that too, by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, Psalm 34.
Yeah, that's a good one. Those two black guys that sing. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. That is awesome. It is awesome. Oh, you want to play it? Okay, we'll do it. I ain't scared.
I've got Joy that I told you about earlier would really get everybody encouraged and pumped up too. Just saying.
Yes, Missy.
There it is. Okay, we're going to just get off topic for a little bit so I can show this to y'all. Let's see, where am I? Praise be to God forevermore. Thank you, Father. Ooh, my. I know y'all got up out them chairs and went out there and went to praising God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Missy's still going. Look at her. Go on, girl.
I'm like saying joy. You got to play the joy song. I've got joy.
We can do that Thursday.
Oh, it is.
How many of you want to hear the joy song?
Yes, yes.
Barbara, you don't count. You and Missy kind of sisters there.
She's already heard it. That's why. Y'all would really like it.
Okay, we'll play it. Is that it?
I've got joy in the struggle. I've got peace in the storm. I've got strength in the battle. I don't fear anymore. I'm a child of heaven, and my secure. I've got joy, 'cause I've got Jesus. He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains, and now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy. Spill it all up.
Okay, I like that song. I got joy. Is anybody in here got any joy? Lord of God. If you ain't got joy now, you need to get down and get saved. I'm telling you. My. Oh, Claire and Rion, y'all missed it. Lord of God. We
have you'll have to play it again.
No, I'm not talking about the song. We've just been on fire for the Lord tonight. It's been good. Okay. Has anybody got any thing I'd like to say? Any prayer requests? Any testimonies? Anything you'd like to add to what I've already said? How many of you know that the devil doesn't have a chance if you know where you are in Christ? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Well, I was just raising my hand in a yes response to what you just asked.
Amen. And Marilyn, too. Okay, well, we
and
got
to remind him. And I remind him of that when he starts attacking me and accusing me, etc. I remind him he was defeated and I already have the victory and he is to go and shut up and whatever else comes to mind that's befitting him.
Amen.
Preaching, speaking the word out loud.
That's exactly right. Yeah, Missy.
I like to just praise and thank the Lord for a good trip down. I knew there was going to be a lot of thunderstorms and stuff around today. And I asked the Lord that I not get, that downpour on me. And it might have rained 3 or 4 times on my way down, but it was just not that much. I think the most at any time it might have rained was maybe 10 minutes, but the other times were like only 5 minutes and it wasn't very hard at all. And then I went out to eat and got back. And right after I got out, got back from eating, it started pouring. So thank you, Lord, for the little things and how much more will you answer the big things?
Amen. It wasn't 2 minutes when I started hollering at that wind and that rain out there because those trees were really going, man. They were really, that wind was really blowing. And it stopped. It's just calm out there. Peace be still, you know.
Thank you, Lord.
God is so good. God is so good. And all he's looking for is us to show him out. That's what he wants. He wants to, you know, he wants us to know that he's going to back us up in everything that we do, in everything that we say, and in the thing that you declare and decree, it's happening. Just like Don Gossett there, when his daughter was in trouble, life-threatening trouble. Just like a guy that the Lord placed in his heart to give me a call one time. He said, Michael, the Lord told me to call you and have you pray for Marilyn, my wife. They've declared that she's not going to live past 6 weeks, I think it was, because of some kind of exotic disease that they said that she had. I said, well, we're not going to believe that. We're going to rebuke it. And you know what? We both did. God did. Marilyn walked out of that hospital the next day. And with the doctor scratching their heads, wondering what in the world went on. God is so good. He's waiting on us. Ain't no need you waiting on him. He said by his stripes, you were healed. We don't even have to go to Isaiah 53, or just 1 Peter 2:24, right down the road there. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago. He's already taken care of it. All we have to do is claim it, grab it, and walk in it. God's got us. Woo, Lord of God. Yes, Kenita.
Hi, everybody. I actually made it on tonight. I didn't think I was going to, but we're still home. We didn't leave for Silver Lake. We're supposed to go to the west side of the state, and we didn't quite get everything done with the Jeep, and there's a trailer, and Dad's been here every day. Frank's dad's been here every day for the last 2 weeks helping us put that thing together, getting all the wiring done, and he got all his part done, and we're just, I don't know, there's just a few more things to get done. So, and now I heard it's supposed to rain on Saturday night, and we're tent camping over there. So, and the price of gas went up to $5 in Michigan. So I'm like, oh boy, maybe we should just stay home. That would be kind of nice. So I don't know how it's all going to work out. But one of the things that was funny when they were working on the trailer, just every single thing that could go wrong was going wrong. Nothing was wiring upright. The right side light would work and the left side wouldn't. And then three of the brakes would work and one of them wouldn't. It was just one thing after another. And Dad was just like, man, what is it? It's just one thing after another. I said, praise the Lord for this testimony, Lord, that you're just making us overcomers over and over again as we work through these trials. I was just remembering that, I don't know, just to remembering that it's all for us that he's doing all these things. And just keeping that in the front of my mind that any trial, any crazy things that are going on in the world are for us, and just praise him through all that. So even just being home and not being able to go, just giving God the glory for that, and he'll work it out if we're supposed to go tomorrow morning. So praise the Lord. Amen.
I got a word for you. Get in your car, get Frank in your car, get Nick in your car, and come on down. We'll put you up for a few days, and you can be here for pod blessing up on top of the mountain.
We're gonna have you don't even know how much I want to do that. I'd skip the whole Jeep thing any time.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, we're gonna have fun. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Rhea.
Just something you said, Michael, reminded me of last night. Claire and I were listening to the latest broadcast, and David said something there. You're talking about faith and healing, and we all here would agree that Jesus would be the person that had the most faith, right? If you'd walk around, you never doubt that, or even someone like Paul. But he said, and it just kind of struck me again, every single person that Jesus healed was because of their faith, not his faith. I know it's so obvious, but it was just, I just thought about that. God, that's actually profound. Because he had all the faith in the world, like in the universe, like he had all of it. But every single person he healed was because of their faith. And it was just so wonderful. So, well, if you don't, and the only way to get faith is by asking God for more if you don't have it, and then to read his word. That's how you get filled with more faith. And the word is Christ, after all. It's a beautiful little circle there. He's just waiting, like you said. It's already been done. He's just waiting for you to add your faith.
Amen. And to confess your healing by the word of God. You confess that with the word of God. You would be healed by his stripes. Bless God. I don't have to put up with this garbage. And that's what we do. You confess it. You get that word in you. That thing that Claire made up is so awesome. All you got to do is just look at that thing every day and just declare it. How many letters in the alphabet? 20, all 26 of them. Glory to God. And listen, it was back in the second or third grade that I remembered that, you know, that I was taught that. So it's been a couple of years ago. Amen. All right, has anybody got anything they'd like to say, add, question? Listen to this. You know, I was looking at Hebrews 11:3 today. 11:1, 2, and 3, but 11:3 struck me pretty good. It said, by faith, we understand that the worlds have been framed or created by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which do appear. Think about Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. How did he create? By his word, the word of faith. He said, let there be. Bless God. And what happened? The worlds were created. He knew, Jesus knew the secret of faith, speaking the word. He healed the sick with words. He raised the dead with words. He stilled the sea with peace be still, didn't he? Paul cast out demons when he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. They used words. They confessed the word of God that were born out of faith. They were faith's words. And we become the sons of God and partakers of his nature by acting on those words. And that's how you become a faith man or a faith woman, because we use faith words. And we produce the results from it. It's just awesome what we can do with just our tongue. The Proverbs, it tells us about that. Go ahead, Pat.
I was, I've been reading through the Psalms for the last week or so. And it dawned on me, I mean, just as you read through, you see so many verses that remind you of Jesus. And I got to thinking about it. And Jesus, you know, he didn't come pre-programmed with all the knowledge of God and all the, and, you know, the whole package. He didn't know the whole plan when he came. I believe he obviously came as a man, and he read those same Psalms that we have available to us. And I believe through that process of reading the word and that word confirming in him and clarifying in him who he was and what his purpose was, and all of those things, so that when he was ready and presented himself to the world through John the Baptist, he already had the picture in his mind. You know, he knew who he was, what his purpose was. He knew he came to eventually take away the sins of the world through his sacrificial life. And just as I got to thinking about just that process and how he must have, you know, come across the Psalms, and Psalm 22, as he read that of, you know, the crucifixion, and his heart just embraced that. And he knew that that was God speaking to him. And as that scripture, as he went through the scripture and through his life and took that into him and confirmed in him all of these things and his purpose and his life and everything, it's the same way with us. Michael was speaking on faith in the last message. And, you know, it was so true. We faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as we just continue to comb and go through the scripture and allow it to come into our heart, it reveals in us who we are and who, what our purpose is. I was just thinking about that that message, the dream and the prophecy, full disclosure or whatever. And I was just reading the last part of that. You know, I'm just going to read it real quick, but it says, a greater work is now taking place within my first fruits group, and not all who were in agreement with you previously will continue to be. This will especially be noticed in those who call themselves my believers and followers. My word says I will come to judge my church first, and this is what is taking place. Each one of you has a unique assignment and purpose, and you must cleave to the intimate counsel you each have been given in order to maintain your focus. As all is shifting rapidly now, go when I say go, stay when I say stay, and do not engage unless explicitly instructed to do so. I mean, I was just that portion right there, was thinking that there are many voices in the media. There are many voices in, you know, in the news and the world, and various other on the internet and stories, and groups that you follow or websites you follow, etc. There are multitudes of, I mean, just my email, I've lost complete control of it. I get like 100. Maybe 100 emails a day in one of my emails, and it just floods it. It's just, it's constant. It's just, you know, all the time just flooding in. And I think that for me, I've had to kind of shut it all off and let the emails pile up, and let the, you know, there's many things, even in that, what was said there, maintain your focus. Everything is shifting. Go when I say go. Do not engage unless explicitly instructed to do so. And I've seen, it came to me a few months ago, there are many, many worthy causes out there that we could all get involved in and really invest our life in and plug into, and probably find a certain amount of satisfaction in, and whatever the thing would be. And our labors would be needed in that particular area. But that's not the most important thing right now. I believe the most important thing is for us to focus solely on God's word, focus our attention upon Him, and allow Him to carry the narrative in our life. And to a certain degree, you always feel like I'm missing something out there, missing, you know, the latest on the news, or, you know, all I need to do is just keep track of this thing. But the world is going to go the way the world is going to go. And God has already set this thing in motion, and it's going to go to its destination. And we weren't called to follow the world. We were called to follow Him and the Holy Spirit and wherever that should take us. And then it said, do not concern yourselves with the outcome of loved ones who cannot make the choice to fully surrender right now. Bless them and stay on your course for me. I've told you I have them. So pray for them unceasingly and trust me. Your prayers are more powerful than you would believe. Sweet incense to me, and I hear each one. Excuse me. So I was really encouraged with that word. Pardon me. And I just see it as for myself, just the need to, I mean, I'm in a job right now that totally engrosses you in just because of the the confusion of the industry. It seems like things are always running faster than what we can catch up with, and it's always out of control, and you're always behind. But God has put me in this thing, and He has a solution, and His solution is to rest in Him. There's always going to be confusion, and there's always going to be lack, and there's always going to be destruction and people not making it, and there's always going to be this. But God's perfect peace is what I need to, and I believe we need to, just simply rest in His ability. He has it under control. And so, I don't know, I was just very encouraged by that that dream and that prophecy that we received the other night. And so I just praise the Lord and ask, you know, Him to continue to guide us, guide our thoughts. And Father, I just thank you for your love for us, Lord. I thank you for your purpose for each and every one of us in your word. Lord, open up our eyes to your word. Give us a desire to run after you in your word, to strengthen us, to unveil that purpose and that plan for each one of us in this puzzle, in this kingdom work that you've got us in, Lord. And we just trust you for supplying us not only with the wherewithal to accomplish what you've called us to do, but also allowing us to see clearly and understand that we can walk in faith and peace and at rest in your supply and in your life within us. Lord, I bless my brothers and sisters with your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your life within us that you've paid for. You've paid for each and every one of us by your blood. We thank you for it, Lord. We are a purchased possession of the King. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was just going to take it off topic a little bit, not much, but you mentioned that God needed faith. I question that in the sense that I don't think God the Father needed faith. I think what I'm reading in the scriptures and how this works, and especially if you look at Luke, and I was starting to read Deliver from Dark Powers. I'm really kind of getting a little bit into that. It's kind of fun. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I have given you authority. And that authority is the right to use God's power to do these things. And that includes the faith. And I'm thinking that also is how in creation, God was working alongside with Jesus. And Jesus had that authority, that right to use power. And he worked by faith in God's power to do those things. But God had the power. He didn't need faith. He had it. But Jesus was working through faith and his authority through God the Father to do these things as our example. So I'm seeing that's how, if we say, God created the worlds by faith. Well, Jesus created the worlds by faith in God's authority, his God's power that he gave him, the authority to do these things. But God, he didn't need faith. God is everything. God is being, he has it all. He's the one that supplies the faith in his power to do these things. So that's kind of how I'm thinking. I can be corrected on this if you want, but I'm thinking that's kind of the way it goes. God doesn't need faith. He gives the faith for you to use his power and his authority to do these things. So just this, I was thinking that how it worked.
Yeah, you might have misunderstood me. I went ahead and said God, Jesus, God, same thing. So anyway, I agree.
No, I wasn't trying to correct you as much as I was trying to understand.
Yes, was. No. Yeah. No, I understand.
That's no problem. God the Father needs faith.
I knew that. That's what I said, Jesus.
Okay. All right.
Good. I'm just kidding you, though. Don't you worry about that. I got alligator hide. Get that
right. That's all right. I'll find something to correct you on.
Okay. I'm kidding you. All right. Go ahead, Rhea.
It's, Dave, what you're saying is almost like I'm imagining like a electricity circuit, you know, that's got the battery in and it's got the wires and then there's a switch in between, right? And all the power and everything you need is already there. It's already, God set it up in that way. And so what you're saying is that he doesn't need that faith to complete in the circuit. The faith is just the switch that just activates it or just completes it. It's already there. It's already all set up. It's all been done. By his stripes we have been healed. And it's just the faith is the mechanism that God has chosen to activate that power. That's by his design is that way. He doesn't need it that way. He's very capable of flicking that switch all by himself. But he's put it in there. And he says, if you don't, we can activate that power by using faith. And that faith is actually the faith of God as well. It's all him. It's all his. Everything's been designed by him. It's his switch, his battery, electricity, wires, all of it. Sorry for the electricity analogy, but that's just what kind of came to me. Although that's what we need to activate it. And once you have that faith and you understand the promise, it's that circuit is complete. That power is running. You just have to trust it. Just like you can't see electricity flowing, you just know it's there. You know it's happening. You just have to then continue in faith it's all been complete. That's like the last piece of that puzzle that's needed.
Yeah, it's the right to use the power that gives us. It's our right. He gave us that authority in that way. Yep. No, absolutely. I agree. It's potential to be used. It doesn't mean, but you, like you said, you have to throw the switch. You can let the switch stay in a disengaged position and the power's there, but if you don't use it, you never threw the switch.
Amen. Who's the 941 number? I think it's a Florida number. You need to unmute and let us know who you are. (clears throat) 941-525. Yeah. Probably Sarasota, Sarasota down in South Florida. Who is the 941?
Somebody said it's Michelle.
Michelle, who?
She's in Florida.
I was wondering if it was Michelle. I put that in the chat. Is it Michelle?
Oh, Michelle Rogers?
I don't know.
Michelle, is that you? I need to know who this is. Please unmute and identify.
Maybe they don't know how to unmute.
Maybe not.
Who's got a phone to tell us? Malcolm, maybe.
No, Malcolm's up in somewhere up or close to you.
Was it #611?
*6. *6 should unmute.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, hello?
Yes.
Bingo, it's Michelle.
Okay. Okay,
that Michelle, was so frustrating. I'm like, I'm trying. I'm pushing all these buttons. Thank you, Missy.
Oh, my. All right. Yeah, oh, hi, Michelle.
Hi. All right. Yeah, well, since you called me out to speak, I just logged on, but I had an analogy. I think you guys were talking about exercising our authority.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to tell me how to unmute or how to go back to mute after.
I can do that. I think you just hit *6 again. You hit *6 again.
*6?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's kind of along those lines, but like recently, I had these old landlords, and my old landlords didn't take care of my place, and they're the only landlords I've ever had, so I kind of got conditioned to letting things go that needed to get fixed. And new landlords took over, and these people were on the ball, but I didn't realize they were more than happy to get stuff done. And so it's been a while, years now, and finally, you know, somebody said, you really should tell them, they'll fix this. And like, I lived with lukewarm water for years, and I said, hey, could you guys fix this water? They came right over and just turned up the water heater, and I've had these wonderful hot water, and I really like hot water. And it's like, man, I've been living without that. Yeah, and lots of things. And I just couldn't help thinking, you know, that's how it is in the kingdom of God. Same exact thing. Of course, exercising, it looks different than calling my landlord, but it really impacted me with how many things do we live with and tolerate and put up with. And, you know, we have a new landlord in Christ, and we can say to this one, go, and they do it in faith when we're in his will and walking with them. And they will come and give you hot water or come and, you know, fix your refrigerator and all these things that I lived with, and I didn't have to. And so I just, that analogy really struck me, so I wanted to share that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And hopefully that fits in, because I just heard the last couple comments there. But thanks.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm muting now.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm unmuted already. I'm sorry. I was threw the heart up. I was trying to throw my hand up.
All right, go ahead, Dave.
All right, we love you too, Michelle. Anyways, what I was going to say is, and you brought a good question up, and Julie said that, just asking to receive. All right, here you go. There's a point where you ask for things, but there's a point when you command. All right. So we should know, where do we ask? Where are we always going to go to Father and ask for things? But then where is it in our responsibility, our authority? We take, no, I'm taking that right. We command these things and certain things too. So there's a difference in how we work in the kingdom here, right? How would we give an example where we should ask for that versus, well, I'm going to command that.
Go ahead, Rian.
Well, you don't ask for things that's already been given to you or promised. You don't need to ask for that because it's already been given. So it's our job to seek out the word and find out what has already been promised, and what are the things we can ask for. What are the gifts we can ask for and we'll receive. But then what has already been given to us by the authority of Christ in us. So because we have Christ in us, we have certain authority, and we are heirs, you know, in that sense, and those promises have been given to us, so we don't have to ask. We can stand on those, and we can command those, just believe and just believe and receive them, you know, almost without asking.
Amen. Julie, did you have something?
Just add to what Rian was saying is, I think it depends on where somebody's faith is and their maturity level and what they know and understand, because Jesus said, you know, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, and everyone who asks receives. And he said, you know, that you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them who ask? And he gives the example of the asking for a piece of bread and, you know, would you give him a stone, or asking for a fish and give him a serpent or something along that. I'm not sure I got that right. But anyhow, it's like, you know, we know how to give good things to people, whether they be children or just share what we have. And I think when he was talking about the gifts, I think there's things we need to ask for, you know, as far as being able to ask the Lord to, to help us, you know, die to ourselves, help us to, you know, tell him, I want the gifts. I want to be used. I want to, you know, whatever fruit you see that you want, and you're, you know, you want those things, but you can't command those things. So I think there's a difference there. And that's just what was coming to me about asking and what is commanding. It depends, I think, where your faith is. And I remember a testimony that, one of David's testimonies that he had about, you know, he would go to the Lord and ask him to fix something for him. And there were other times he went to the Lord and asked the Lord to show him how to do something. So, I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, things. It's just, Lord, put your will in my heart, you know, put it in your will, put your will in me and put it in me what to ask, what I don't know what I need to ask for. That's it. Thanks.
Amen. Yes, Claire.
My addition, which I agree with everyone, is once you've asked, then what then? You know, and that's where you endure in your trial. So you ask, but you don't stay down asking. If you know who lives in you and you love and you serve the Most High, then it's done, then it's given. Then you have to walk in that, whether you're limping or whether you're half blind, or, and I use those terms spiritually, you still have to do it as though it's done. Because that's the only way we overcome. He's not looking for anyone else except overcomers. So you have to ask and believe that you've received. And I love that, Julie, that it's dependent on where you are in your walk, and he's got grace for us. So there's no legalism, but we must endure to see the end. That was just what was coming to me.
Amen. We ask for wisdom. We ask for revelations of the word. We ask the things that God can give us only. That's right. Thank you, Lord. But we command the devil, don't we? We don't ask him nothing. And everything everything that's tormenting you, you command it to go. Just like Rion said, all the promises are already there. All we have to do is reach out and grab them. That's all we do. We just trust the Lord that he's already done it. And go on, don't worry about it because it's already done. We're going to come to the place, all of us are, to where we'll figure out that we don't need prayer for healing. We don't need prayer for deliverance because the devil already knows that we know what we know, and he won't dare come around us. Because we know who's in us abides in us, and we abide in him. And we have figured out, listen, I was just looking at this. Proverbs 18:21. Y'all know this verse, probably know it by heart. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can speak lack or you can speak plenty in your life. Well, I don't know if I'm ever going to get done with this. Or I'm not, no, you know, no, it's done in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to see to it and keep and get me. This job is done. Bless God, I ain't got to worry about it anymore. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So he's telling you, whatever you speak out of your mouth is what you're going to get. That's the fruit of your mouth. If you speak curses, bless God, that's what you're going to get. And sometimes, just think about it. Just sit around and listen to what people say. And you'll see most of the time they're speaking curses on themselves. I heard one just a minute ago. I ain't going to say. I'm just saying. But we need to watch what in this fellowship right here. But I'm not, listen, I'm not trying to put anything, because I am the one that I'm speaking to. Because I need to watch what I say, when I say it, how I say it. Boy, I'm going to get up in the morning. I don't know if I'll get up out of that bed or not. Huh? I don't know if I'm ever going to get this dog trained up, bless God. Huh? I'm just picking on you, Joe. But you just start speaking, that dog is going to come around. Bless God, he's going to be the best dog everybody ever had. That's what you need to be speaking. That dog going to be obedient to every little old thing I say. As a matter of fact, he's going to read my mind and do what I need done before I say it. As, you know, that's the kind of stuff. And that job is done. I don't care what these people say. My family's coming in. I don't care what they're looking like. Every one of them, mighty men and women of God, glory to God. It don't make any difference what you're looking at in the natural. It's what God has told us just a minute ago. He's bringing them in. Bringing every one of them in. Hey, some of them, it probably looking like the devil. That's okay. Devil's just going to get a matter and a wet setting pin when he comes into Jesus. Because he's coming in. He knows he's coming in. He knows he's trying to get him, you know, get them. or whatever. But you just sit and grin and said, devil, you can do whatever you want to, because I know my God said this. That's right, wash water and snow. We don't have to put up with anything but blessings out of our mouth. And I'm talking to myself too, because I've caught myself just in the last few days. I'm telling you, it just floors me at the negativity that comes out of my mouth at times. But God, right? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Something just came to me that I want to pray. I want to speak blessing over my daughter-in-law, Brooke. I was talking to Debbie earlier about her not being able to nurse Blake. And I won't say exactly why. That's all I'll say. So, Father, I just, I break all curses that have been spoken upon Brooke, even in her own thoughts or in her own words concerning nursing. We know that there's a shortage on formula, and I declare that Brooke is going to nurse this new little one that she has in October, and she's going to have plenty of milk. In Jesus' mighty name, I praise you and I thank you. And I forbid, I just break any curse that may come out of anybody's mouth concerning that. It's not going to land on her, even if it's her own words or even thought curses. And it all is going to fall to the ground, and it's not going to produce anything. And I bless her that she's going to nurse and have plenty of milk. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. They can have a national shortage of formulas all they want to, bless God, but God's way is the best way.
Amen.
Lord of God, we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Okay, Geneva and Morgan.
I just want to agree with Missy and say a prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless Brooke, Father, to be around positive influences and people who can uplift her when it comes to nursing, Lord. And God, I just thank you that people who do try to be discouraging, that you just shut our ears off from it, or you distract her with something else, Lord, so that way that cannot get into her spirit or into her mind. And I thank you, Father, that you have blessed her with the ability to do so, because God, that's what you created it for. And I thank you, Jesus, that this baby is going to go strong and healthy. And I just thank you, Father, for all things. And we pray. Amen.
Amen. I believe it too. Lord of God. I think everybody in here does. Thank you, thanks. Amen. I just bless this whole fellowship in Jesus' name. I cast every curse spoken against anybody in this room or listening down as null and void at this moment, right now, in Jesus' name. We speak blessings on everybody here. The blessings of God, provisions, protection, all the things that the promises have given us, and healing, deliverance, and we praise you, Father. It is so. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, that the man child is on the way. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that abundantly, above all that we can think or ask, are the provisions coming into this group in Jesus' name to get the gospel out across the world. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I thank you for placing it into people's heart. The ones that you haven't told yet, or they haven't listened or whatever, that you would have them move to wherever it is that you needed them to move to. And if not, Lord, we thank you for placing peace in their heart and joy in their heart. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Praise be to God. Yep, could be. Amen. Yep, Pat.
I would just like to pray also for us. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've brought us into this time, that each one of us were birthed into this world for such a time as this. And Lord, even though I think of all of the things that appear to be coming upon us as a people and as a world, we see that the time is the age is quickly coming toward an end and a transition into another process or another age. But Lord, we thank you that you have control of this whole situation. And I just pray that any fear that would arise in our hearts or whether it be of the unknown or just a fear of not knowing how to handle certain situations that come along, we just cast that fear down right now in the name of Jesus. We bind that fear and cast it down. We ask you, Lord, to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your presence in this time. Fill us with your word, Lord, that we can take any type of anxiety or a fear or a concern or anything. Lord, we look at your saints as they even went into captivity. And even how you use Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego to ultimately turn the king of Babylon into the kingdom of God and turn him to repentance. And Lord, you are doing a great thing in the world today. Even though many are asleep, that you are able to take us through to perform that which you have created us for and fill us with your Holy Spirit and strengthen us from within by your presence and your joy. Lord, I just ask that you would flood your joy upon us, Lord, in your sense of your presence in our life, Lord, and in our fellowship, and that you would strengthen us to accomplish your word and to soak up your word and to breathe faith into our surrounding environment, Lord. We thank you for the revival that you are bringing forth. And we acknowledge that even in this revival, it's absolutely necessary that many things come to an end. Many things that we have trusted in need to come to an end, need to grind to a halt so that we can express our confidence and trust in your ability to bring us through. Lord, we thank you that you have our lives in your hands. Every part of us are in your hands. None of us can be taken out of your hand. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for your love for us and love for all of those that you've created us to touch, for your Holy Spirit with your word. And we thank you for providing us with everything that we need to accomplish this work that you've called us to do. We thank you, Lord. We praise you and we just trust you and cast our confidence in you, Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords and the redeemer of our souls. And we thank you for that, Lord. We just bless you and praise you for your amazing, awesome power in our lives, Lord, and your ability to take us all the way to the end. He that has created a good work within us will finish it even unto the end. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you and trust you. We just bless you and thank you for this time. And we love you, Lord. And we just ask for a continued sense of your presence in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Glory to God. This is what I did with Claire with those verses. I just made them in, like he was talking about, made them into little cards. And I'm also looking for a printing company to put them all on one little poster, one poster, and put it on the wall is what I'd like to do. So I'm trying to find a printing company that can do that. Pretty neat. Pretty neat. Thank you for doing that. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Debbie.
Hello. Hey. Yeah, I sent a prayer request for somebody on the email, intercessory's prayer email. And I'd like to read just part of that, just the prayer request that this mother sent. And okay. After this, because of the, you know, and hearing tonight what Pat prayed that about God wants to use us and what he's purposed to use us in, how he's purposed to use us, what he's purposed to use us for. And I was reading Isaiah 61 about bringing news, good news to the afflicted, binding the brokenhearted, bind up the brokenhearted, set the prisoners and captives free. And so this one, I'm going to read this short request of this mother. She's someone that I know in the fellowships back home. Her son went to prison many years ago for accidentally killing his father. I mean, he went to his father mad and meant to punch him out or something, but he didn't mean to kill him. And he killed him. He's been in prison for many years. He's only got a couple years to go. He repented and got born again in the prison. And we were following news about him. He was doing really well. But now he's running into this problem. So here's her request. His name is Ben. Please put Ben's situation on every intercessory platform. He was diagnosed with a heart condition 18 months ago, and they still haven't set an appointment for his surgery. Because he's an offender, he's on a waiting list. He sleeps most of the time because they have put him on too much medication. He's gained 70 pounds. Also, they have the prisons back on medical COVID lockdown, no movement. Sometimes they don't even bring inmates food. And she says, I'm over it. I want Ben home now. Praying along these lines of Acts 12, 1 through 11. And Peter was delivered from the prison by the angel. So I just like us, you know, that power, and we've been acknowledging all evening about the strength that we have and, you know, what God's given us to use to go in this prayer for Ben. So Lord, I just pray for Ben, and then Michael, I like you to cap it off, but to pray for Ben, Lord, we do come against the spirit of infirmity of his heart, Lord. I pray that you would even put belief and faith in Kathy's heart and the family's heart there, Lord, to pray for that healing and believe for it, Lord. We bind this condition of his heart in the name of Jesus. We do not declare that he's got this problem, God, because you healed him, Lord. He is yours. And we claim that healing. We command this to go from him in the name of Jesus. Father, we just command his release, Lord God, of a turnaround, God. We pray for justice, Lord, to be done, Lord, but also your mercy, Father God. Your mercy would come in, Father, and set this captive free, Lord God, in Jesus' name, and do a deep and wonderful work in his heart, Lord, of healing, Father, restoration, Lord, in his body, Lord, and to you again, Father, if he's been in a hard way because of everything, Lord, and if, I don't know if he's drifted from you at all, but Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would have your way in his life in a mighty way. We just declare that. We declare his freedom, Father. We declare his health, Lord. And I just thank you, Father, that for peace in the family, that they would rise up too in the faith. Lord, I know they believe these things. I pray that you would have them not looking at the situation, but looking at you, Ben's God and their God, Lord, and what you can do, Lord, and that they would be receiving that and claiming it, Lord, and thanking you for it, Lord. So, God, we just come against the wrongdoing in these prisons, but all this lockdown and everything, God, and maybe not bringing inmates food. We come against this in Jesus' name. We declare that to stop in the name of Jesus, and for good things to be brought to the for them to eat, and that you could just cause these lockdowns to stop, Lord. It's put many in a real depressive way, Lord. I know that by another friend we have in prison, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, you're moving in these prisons, Lord. And you move for Ben, Lord, in Jesus' name. And thank you for it, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Debbie. We count it as so. Ben, you come out of that prison in Jesus' name in great health. In the name of Jesus, we command his heart to be healed. In Jesus' name, we command every cell in his body to be healed and from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And we thank you, Lord, that he's going to take that weight off too. And we praise you for it, Father. And we command those doors of that prison to come open. Ben, you come out in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that the ones in authority will show favor to Ben and let him loose in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, the name that's above all names, and we praise you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, Julie.
Amen, amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Ben's life. We thank you, Lord, for his repentance and being born again, and he's entitled to all the benefits of the kingdom of heaven. And we command the effects of the drugs, all the pharmakia, to leave his body. He will not interfere with his health, his organs, or anything else. We thank you, Lord, for restoring his health and a miraculous turnaround, Lord, that, and they're not going to give him any more of these drugs. If he's over-medicated, Lord, we command that to cease in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Father, for your grace and mercy, and we claim and command healing and total restoration of energy and strength into his body in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. We neutralize the effects of all that pharmakia on him right now in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father. He don't need pharmakia. He's got you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah. Lord, I just want to declare your scriptures over Ben. Lord, I do for him. Let it be seen that you do for him what happened to David and his men's family at Ziklag when all the captives were returned. Lord, there was another verse. Sorry, give me a second here. Where was it? 2, actually. But thus saith the Lord, this is Isaiah 49:25. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. I will contend with them, or him that contends with thee, and I will save thy children. Lord, we call that for Ben's mother on Ben's behalf. We also remind the entire heavenlies of Isaiah's prophecy, which Jesus announced in the synagogue, that he came to set the captives free. Lord, personally, whatever happened in the past, if you've dealt with it, how dare anyone call what you call clean unclean and take possession of this body, and if they wanted to, they would take the soul for their own purposes. Lord, we put this right in your hands, knowing, as Mary did when she told the servants at the wedding, to just do as he says. We command that everything do as Jesus says. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. The word says, and if the word says it, we believe it. And we stand on it in Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else got a prayer before we close out? Yep, he is. He's on his way home. Get ready. Tell him, David, tell him, get ready. Ben's on the way home. He's going to be hungry, too. Amen. Amen.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know how. I have not figured out how to raise my hand. Would it be okay if I would like to ask for a prayer of agreement? over a lady that I've been praying for a long time. It's my good friend's friend. She's a believer, and she's been fighting cancer, fighting for her life, really, for a long time now. She was headed to China to minister to the Chinese church, and she believes the enemy just stopped her. Cancer came back. She's been in China. I believe she's in China or Taiwan. She's in another country, and it's just been horrible. And she's been believing for her healing. And so I would really love if I could just pray, or would you want to pray? And I just would like to have a prayer of agreement.
Yeah, you go ahead and pray, and then I'll pick up after you get through.
Okay. Father, Lord, I just want to lift up Nicole to you, God. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that you are her healer, God. You declared, Lord, your name is healer. You're Jehovah Rapha. And Lord, right now I just lift her up. I agree with my brothers and sisters, Lord, that she will be turning. There will be a turning in the ICU, God, that she will begin to heal from this moment forward, that cancer leaves right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and that all of the death and the suffering that have come against her, that have robbed her of her life and the mission that you had her on, leaves right now in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I ask for your resurrection life to fill her room. God, I pray that your spirit would even take a hold of the doctors and nurses, everyone that comes in contact with her. God, I even ask for a glory zone around her, God. And anybody that comes within 10 feet of her comes into faith, Lord, for her. And then unbelief will be silenced right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, yes, raise her up in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Resurrection life, God. I ask today that this trial would come to an end. The suffering would end. Lord, I ask for mercy, too, that you would just move from heaven, God, over this whole situation, Lord. And, Lord, let this be the ending. Let today be the day where it turns, God, and her life comes back to her, Lord. And she has been cleaving and clinging to you through this. And I thank you. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're going to do some commanding here. We're going to do some believing here. And this Nicole is fixing to come out of that bed of affliction in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, yeah, right now, I command that spirit of cancer to leave her right now in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of the fear of cancer to leave her now in the name of Jesus. And I command that spirit of death to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. And I command every cell in her body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, for the complete restoration of Nicole's body, mind, and soul. In Jesus' glorious name. And we praise you, Father, that it is done, because the word of God says it is so. And I praise you, Father, that Nicole is coming out of that bed of affliction, and there's going to be doctors and nurses that are going to come to you because of it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I praise you, Father, because you're the one done it. And we thank you for it right now, that Nicole is healed, delivered, and set free. And just like Michelle said, we command any doubt and unbelief to stay out of that room, in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it. Any curses spoken against her by the doctor or family members, we cast down right now as void and null in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Does everybody believe that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We just believe, Lord, for the great testimony. We're going to hear from Nicole herself in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, God, I'm a son that I have in my ability to have seen. I believe it.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
My. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. I don't know if I'm on. Is my speaker on?
Do what?
Yeah, we can hear you.
My speaker on?
Oh, yeah.
I thought I turned it off. All right. Well, praise God. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Amen. Woo. Amen. Thank you. Done. Nicole, is healed.
Hallelujah.
She is completely healed. I believe it.
Yes.
But she's going to have a testimony really... that's going to... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm through.
You were saying. Well, she's just the Lord really quickened me this week when Jesus said, you know, the Pharisees judge by mere appearances, but he judges by what he hears. And the Lord just really quickened that to me that that's where we get our unbelief comes in when we're standing for healing, you know, the mere appearances. I like that he said mere. You know, it's merely an appearance, but we have the word of the Lord. We have the truth. We have the living God, the promise of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we just got to stand no matter what happens.
Absolutely. We have to see her as already healed. We don't see her as a poor beggarly person there. She is already healed.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, glory to God. Yeah, thank the Lord. We praise you, Father, for the complete restoration. My. Yeah, Lazarus was dead 4 days, but he was raised by faith. When he said, I don't want to go into that. It's too late. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, we just thank you for a wonderful night tonight. We thank you, Father, that everybody here is blessed. And we're all going to start speaking blessings rather than curses from this point on. And we praise you, Father, that you have put it in our hearts to speak the word all the time. And I'm going to carry these cards with me. I ain't no telling where you run across. You might need them. Just speak them all the time. Amen. We thank you for it, Father. Amen. All right. Good night, y'all.